Jonah, if you have your Bibles, Jonah chapter 3. And I've preached out of this scripture. I just want to take a little bit different angle this afternoon. Did you come to hear from God today? Amen. Hallelujah. Some of us did. How about the rest of y'all?
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Jonah chapter 3. Let's just read this chapter here together. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was a exceeding great journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and of his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. I'd like to preach this morning the force that can even stop God. Let me say that one more time. The force that can even stop God. Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Now let's enter into that atmosphere of faith. Now let's get everything away from the day and all those distractions of the enemy in this Laodicean time. Say, Lord, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you'd be here, Lord. And I believe that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, and to be in the truth, to feel your spirit, Lord, among us, to know that you're the only true living God, that there's nowhere else that you're found but right here in the Word that you've given to us, Lord. Many are running to and fro. It's a desert out there for the Word of God. Yet you brought us right to the springs of water. It was right in the middle of the desert, but there was a rock there, Lord, in Israel, that when he smote it once, it sparked water enough to feed, to fill 2 million people up with water. We thank you, Lord, that you've done so much more spiritually now. Help us, Lord, to dig into the Word this afternoon and to feed from these eternal things that you've given to us. May we die out to ourselves and all of our thoughts and our iniquities, Lord. May we just let that bleed all over us, Lord, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and have communion with you this service. I pray that your spirit have the preeminence, that you'll loose us from our sins, that you'll loose us from our unbelief, that we might be the Christians that we ought to be, Lord, in sincerity, in worship, and in our lives, Lord Jesus. Oh, be mighty in this service, I pray. Help me to move aside and let you speak, Lord, that the people would open up their hearts and receive the word today. Heal every sick person, save every lost, restore every backslidden, and just wreak havoc on the kingdom of the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times we've got all these images of what it means to be strong, of what it means to be mighty. You know, you watched any cartoons and things. You know, if you did it when you were little like I did, I'll tell you what, they always... The guy that's strong, you know, he's got arms about this big, and that's why you can't do it in real life. They always try to take, you know, like Superman and do in real life, and don't never do it justice. Why? Because you can't quite draw an arm as big as what his needs to be. There's no human who's got it that big in real life. And we think of strength and of power. And, you know, you keep going higher, and they get bigger and stronger and bigger and stronger. And by the time you think this guy's the strongest, here comes the next guy, and he's stronger and he's bigger and all these things. We think of what power looks like, and my, how contrary that is to what the Bible is. What real strength is all about. The man that's strong in the Lord, the man that's got real power don't need big muscles. He's got big authority. Amen. That's right. Jesus went maybe 5'3", 5'6", somewhere in a little bitty fella. You wouldn't heard his noise in the streets nowhere. But I tell you what, when a legion of devils saw that man, they said, Did you come to torment us before the time? Did you come to shake our kingdom up? Oh my, we think of what is force, what is power. And we say, well, the greatest force in the world is God. He's the omniscient. He's omnipotent. There's nobody can outmatch him. And you're right. That's absolutely right when it comes to any sort of potential. God is the essence of what potential is. He is what infinity really means. And you can't take your little mind and wrap around it. You can't do that. But if you'll just put some faith in this God this morning, your little sickness will drop away. Your little unbelief will drop away. Your little backsliding condition, that no praise demon got on you this morning, it'll all fade away. And a Christian will begin to form out of there by the power of God. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm not waiting for him. I've got him in my soul. Hallelujah. And the same God that moved through his son and was able to wreak havoc on the devil wherever he went lives in me now. Hallelujah. And this ain't just one case, but I'm going to talk about Nineveh and I want to keep moving. We know, like I've preached on it before, but I don't care. I'm just going to pretend I have it. We got here in the book of Nineveh. We know it took God a while to get his prophet to get in line with the word of the age, but we understand that even in that mistake, it had to happen that way. He wasn't backslid. He wasn't running away from God as we understand. He was walking. He looked like flesh he was. Yet we know that Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. It had to happen. We say, why did I go do this? Why did I get divorced? Why did I make this mistake? Why did I do that? Why did I sell this off when it was a mistake? God ordained all of that to happen. There ain't nothing out of Cater, brother, sister. Amen. Oh, you'll reap for it. Praise God. That's right. Jonah sure didn't appreciate being in oil's belly for 3 days, but you ain't never had that bad of symptoms yet. So get over it. That's right. You think, oh, that ain't no big deal. He didn't have no sundial down there, and it would have done him no good because it's pretty dark. I'm pretty sure he didn't have a nice candlelit TV in there either to go watch it and pass the time. He was down there for 3 days. How do you even sleep in the middle of a whale wondering if you're going to make it out of there? Well, what began to move on Jonah is what we're about to see here. Faith began to change in Jonah. He said, wait, I know I'm down in here. I know I'm here because of my own stupidity. I know God didn't even make me come out here. But he knew I'd do it. Hallelujah. Thank God that the thing that looked like it was going to kill him is what saved his life. Remember, he was on the boat and this rock in a row and they think we're all going to die. And Jonah said, look, if you want to be saved, throw me out. Yeah. Why? Because he was going to die with them anyways. Better one man die than everybody. And I'm sure that's all he thought. I'm sure that's all that worked. But then he got down in the water and all of a sudden a big old fish gobbled him up. And I'm sure he thought, Lord, I missed your will. I'm sorry. Here I am reaping what I sowed. And then he got in the middle of this fish. There ain't no normal fish. There's oxygen in here. I can sit here. I can breathe. Why is God preserving my life? And that's when faith began to move. I said, Lord, you told me back there I need to go to Nineveh. And I'm ready to go now. Hallelujah. And he said, I'm not just going to put... See, faith's got to have a resting place. And he said, now I will look towards thy temple, thy holy temple, and believe what God told a backslidden preacher years ago, King Solomon. Come on now, that if that people be in trouble, let them turn to this place and hear from heaven and deliver them. Amen. And he began to have that. How did he have faith to even know which direction it was? Faith moves where you can't see. That's why I believe Brother Branham, I was just listening to it. He's ready to have a discernment. He said, now get real reverent. He said, I just saw a camera flash. Don't do that. Because the Holy Spirit's a light and you're distracting, you're breaking things. And we want pictures of supernatural. We want videos of supernatural. We want to go show our neighbors and all these things. But here's the problem with all that. What you see with your eyes isn't the supernatural part. Your eyes will lie to you. I challenge you. You know, I'm assuming most of you have seen Deep Call to the Deep and the Chicago meetings there, Brother Bram's discerning and things that they have recorded. And you do it as a believer, though. You believe that. You know that's God. I challenge you one time. I ain't telling you to backslide now. But look at it as if it's not true. And look what you see. Back up for a minute and think of being critical and what's going on. You see a man talking to a woman. That's it. And actually, it's this way. That's right. It's talking to a woman. And then he just acts like he's doing some kind of thing and tells her some stuff. Oh, yeah, they didn't. Yeah, they told behind the back. They're just trying to show. That's what you'll get. That's why God didn't want it recorded. He didn't need it videotaped. He didn't need it photography. He didn't need any of that. There's one thing he did. He recorded the voice because that was the word. And if you get the word, you've got the rest. Hallelujah. I wonder if that's why our live streaming, videotaping, all these things has put a stifle on the power of God because we're trying to showboat it. It's not for the world. It's for the believer. Amen. Don't take what God's gift was for his children and hand it to somebody else. What would you do if somebody did that? You know it's true. You give somebody a gift. You say, that's for you, Brother Kent. And then you watch people give it off to somebody else. Say, well, I didn't give that to them. I gave it to you.
Right.
Woo, glory. God knows them that are his, and he will get the word to each of them. Amen. These Ninevites, what caused this, brother, sister? The word of the Lord came. That's why Jonah came out and said the second time. Hallelujah for second times. The Lord came back to him and said, okay, now I got you ready. I done beat you to the pulp. Now you're ready to just serve me. Hallelujah. See, if you got any more, if you got any of you left in your experience, God's going to have to beat that out before he can use you.
Amen.
So you need to go ahead and lay all that down. All that's you. All that's your thoughts. All that's yours. Your ambitions. That's all got to be laid down. Then God can come the second time. And what's he going to tell you? The same thing he told you the first time.
Right.
Follow the word. Well, Lord, I'm ready now. What's this big thing you're going to show me? No, do what I told you the first time.
Right. Amen.
Go to church. Come on now. Serve the Lord. Pray. Read your Bible. Witness of me. Don't be a coward.
Uh-huh.
Look what Brother Brad said about being a coward one time. You'll stop being a coward. I'll tell you that right now. He said, God can't use a coward.
Amen.
He said, if you're afraid to witness to him, God can't use you.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. But then the word of the Lord came to Nineveh, or came to second time, and he went into a city, 3 days' journey, brother, sister. This wasn't going to little even defiance, okay? This is probably a million people at least in a big old city. You can wonder why he was afraid, and they weren't saints.
No.
They weren't nice, humble people, all right? They didn't want nothing to do with this. But he got in a day's journey, got in far enough, you know, one step in, two steps to go. He got in there, and he preached the word. What was it? Nothing but judgment. 40 days, you're gone.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And a prophet's coming this day and said, there's nothing left. I don't even pray for America no more. She's finished.
Right. Right.
But we're still here.
Right.
And that stumbles many people. You know why? Because you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. That's right. That's what Jesus told the woman at the well. He's like, you think I can't help you, but it's just you don't know what the scriptures are. You don't know who's standing right here. You think I'm just a Jew who just happened to be talking to you one day. No, I'm not here interested in your prostitution. I'm here to save that soul that's in there. Glory to God. I'm the one that created. He said, are you greater than Jacob? He said, I'm the one that made him.
Amen.
Before he was, I am. Glory to God. If you knew who was standing before you. God help us to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and say, this ain't Brother Andrew. This ain't Brother Branham. This ain't some denomination. This is Jesus Christ. He's here amongst us. God help me to humble myself so I can see him. And then when I come to church and recognize he's him, don't sit there and worry about what my neighbor's got to say about it. What have I got to say about it? There's going to come a day where the church comes to church and everyone's thinking about Jesus and you won't have to pump up to worship no more, Dad. That's right. You won't have to say a mighty big statement and then we'll finally get going good. We'll just do it because we know it's Jesus. Hallelujah. Now there's something very key that happened here. Jonah brought the word. Well, what does verse 5 say? So the people of Nineveh believed God.
Amen.
And if you don't believe God, there's no hope for them. They're done. It's over. Now, some people think that they believed intellectually. That's how the devil believes. You can go find that. It says the devils know who Jesus, they knew who he was intellectually. But they had no revelation, because if they had revelation, they never would have killed him. It showed they lacked it, because the word said if a seed falls, it abides alone, but if it dies, it'll grow and be a whole bunch. He said the one that'll bruise the heel, it'll bruise the heel, but he'll smash the head of the serpent. They didn't realize that bruising the heel was killing him. Why? They didn't have any revelation, but they knew intellectually he looks familiar. You're the Holy One of Israel. That's right. You're the Holy One of God. And what did he tell the devils? Shut up.
Amen.
I'll reveal myself. I don't need your help. Why? He had an intimacy with this people he was going to reveal himself to. Amen. What? Now let me just make it real weird for you real quick here. But this is kind of what it's like. What would you think if my dad was the one that got me and her to understand each other, me and my wife? That's not his business. I'm the one that should be demonstrating who I am to my wife. Why? Because we got a personal relationship. Now, if we were going into a business meeting, that'd be all right for Dad to talk of me and everything. And that's how people come to church. It's a nice business formal meeting. So the preacher will stand up and he will tell me about God. And then God will give his message to him. And then I'll have to take it through him. That ain't the way it works, brother, sister. You've got to recognize that I'm just a channel. I'm just a microphone. I'm just a trombone that's playing out of music. And it's nothing to do with me. It's the one that's speaking through me that's getting a direct line to you. Hallelujah. And what's he trying to tell us today? Believe God.
Amen.
Believe God. There will be a bride without spot or wrinkle. Believe God. They failed to see what God has done in this day. The awakening of the bride. Hallelujah. She's without spot. She's without wrinkle. You never did it in the first place. There's no way to take a body change without believing that, brother, sister. If you hold on to one thing you've done wrong, you can never have the faith to be changed. That's got to die. That's got to die. That's the problem of legalism. Is you never can get over that.
Right.
That's the problem with too much grace over here where it don't matter if I do that. That's wrong too, because then there's no atonement for you.
Right.
He that sins willfully, there's no blood for that.
Amen.
But the man that, look, if you make mistakes, you're going to make mistakes. I'm sorry, you will. Any of these examples I'm about to show you, these people made mistakes. That's right, but they had faith.
Amen.
That if God said it, it has to happen. Hallelujah. And I love this. They don't even have a word to stand on that they can be saved.
That's right.
But they believe God.
Amen.
They believe God so much. Well, maybe.
Right.
Maybe there's a chance. Maybe. And you know what began to move? This force I'm talking about today that can even move God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. If you're religious, I'm telling you what, you're going to be offended today. That's right. Say, well, nobody's greater than God unless God so chooses. Let me hear that. Is he so great he can't make anyone else greater than him? Listen now. I know that's a mighty big statement, but God is so big. Remember, Brother Bram said over and over again, the reason he's so big is because he can make himself so little.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you ain't taking, he gave his throne. That's the thing. You can't take it. It's given to you. Hallelujah. I already preached this before too, but that's why I believe the Bible. When Jesus came, he says, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than this shall you do. Not because he couldn't have done them. Jesus could have done anything he wanted to. That's right. He even got to the cross where it looked like he couldn't do nothing. He said, Peter, put that sword up. Put up your little denial idea. Take your legalism. Get out of here. Don't you realize that right now I could speak one word and there'd be legions of angels here and everybody be dead and I'd be sitting fine. He said, but what will that do for you, Peter? You'll still be a coward, backslidden, no good preacher. I want to see you Holy Ghost filled. So I'm willing to do what I'm about to do. Hallelujah. The people believe God, and they didn't just believe like we think intellectually. If it's real faith, if it's really moving, it causes works. Works is faith expressed. So what it began to do is it wasn't just the king either. Wasn't just the preacher got a revelation. The church was getting a revelation. The people believed God.
Amen.
And with one accord, they said, we got to do something.
Amen.
This is it. That's the power of knowing it's the end. It begins to stir you up to where you let down your bars. You let down your reserves and say, we got to put it to the metal. This is it. God help us to quit saving the nitro for later. We're at the last stress. Push the button and go. We're going to run out soon. We ain't got no time. We run out. We're going to have to roll across, but there ain't no point in holding on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whew. The people began to believe God. It began to cause works to where even the king said, don't you touch any food. Don't touch any water. Put on sackcloth and ashes and cry unto God.
Amen.
Maybe we can find grace.
Sure.
And there was no promise of grace in Jonah's message. But this force of God. Now, God ordained it this way. Look, God don't work outside of faith. You go all the way back to the beginning. He says he framed the worlds with faith. He so chose it that way. Could have just done power or whatever, but he decided to use faith. Why? I don't know. Go ask him. People, they always question, why this, why that? How about we just do what he said and say, wow, that worked out pretty well. That's a lot better. And they didn't sit there and try to figure out Jonah's message. They just believed it. And it began to stir. Now, why did God bring that word of judgment? Because he knew that was the only way they would ever ask for grace. Hallelujah! Had he come and said, oh, you guys are pretty good fellas, but, you know, we need to have a few churches in here. We need to do a little reformation here and there. They would have laughed him out of the town. But when he came with the true word that in 40 days, there won't be nothing. Now look, remember I preached on that too. The word still came to pass. Oh yeah, you can't find Nineveh today. It's gone. But this group of people found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God did the same thing with Noah. He wiped the whole world out, but Noah found grace because he believed God. And there was one other man way before it even got started, believed God and said, God came down and said, I can't leave him down there. Come on. And he just grabbed him by the hand like he did the other day, but for some reason something started changing. Saying, what's going on? It's getting a little whiter than I remember. You know, there's only one true color. How many knows that? It's white. Everything comes from white. Hallelujah. That's why I think it's going to be glorious. Amen. They came all the way down here, and look, I just love this. Just look at verse 9 real quick, and then I want to move on. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. Now, if you got a good theological false spirit, come on now, good religious spirit, you say that ain't possible. God's prophets don't tell lies. Come on. He said, thus said the Lord, it didn't happen. Come on. Who's to say? And then we got an account of Jonah in chapter 4, and that's the only person you even know that knows anything about what was going on. And it made Jonah mad. Why? Because he had that religious spirit still. Because he knew when he would start spreading that they would never get the truth. They're going to say, I'm a false prophet, Lord. I didn't even want to come here. You made me come to this place. I said your word, and they didn't even do it. Blah, 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 blah. See how that religious spirit gets? Oh, it's all about me, and I don't get no glory now, blah, blah. He forgot that just millions of people had their lives saved because of him. Because he's so selfish. Mm. And God, we know that you go read chapter 4, it explains that. But that just, hallelujah, I just love it. It shows the prophet of God knows where he stands. He knows where he stands because he knew exactly what happened. He didn't take back his prophecy. He didn't say God lied. He said, God saw your works. I knew he was a merciful God. I knew that about him. Lord, I knew you'd do this. I'm just going to preach it here. We've had that happen right here in this assembly. I don't care what anybody else wants to say about it. God pronounced judgment in this assembly. The people of God prayed and God had mercy. Believe that with all my heart. You ain't going to convince me no different. I believe that's the same with this message. The only reason America's even got a leg, you can't find where that leg it's standing on is. It's not business. There's no money. They're all going bankrupt. It's not the government. We sure know that. It isn't our relationship with other nations. They all hate us. What's holding it together? The grace of God. A faith that's in the people of God that says, Lord, you read the story, I believe, the master came to a tree and it says the third year or something that it hasn't brought any fruit. It said, tear it down. And the servant came and said, Lord, give me one more chance. I'll dung it up. I'll do whatever I can. I'll give it. I'll pray for him. I'll fast for him. I'll give him the word. I'll testify you. I'll show signs and wonders because you promised we would. Amen. And I'll do it one more time. And if it doesn't give you anything next year, we'll tear it down. And that's all you hear about it. That's right. You don't hear what happened after that. Why? Faith's got to move on the word. Amen. See, we want all these things. We want to know everything about it and what's going to happen and all these things. That ain't the way faith works. Faith acts because it knows.
Amen.
It doesn't know it knows, but it knows. That's right. I'm just going to have to paraphrase some of this. I already went a half hour. Jacob one time, he was coming up to a pretty big trial. Didn't know what was going to happen. His brother had his blood. We know he wanted Jacob dead from day one once he got his blessing and birthright stolen. Jacob had run from his life all his life, and finally he came to the break point where God forced him to the issue. He was going to meet Esau. God will force you right up to that issue. Quit dodging it. If you're struggling with something, quit dodging it. Go right after it. If it is a TV, I'm telling you, go right after it and just blow the thing up. Go right for it, brother, sister. Say, how am I going to do this? Do it like Jacob did. He got down and started praying. He got alone, and all of a sudden God showed up. He didn't know it was God, but it was. That's right, because he looked like a man. Don't tell me it was some other angel. It wasn't. It was God. You can go read it in the Bible. I'll just read it to you real quick here. Jacob, and it's in Genesis 32:30, after the whole wrestling. I'll get back to that in a minute. He says this, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just think. Just think about it, brother, sister. And it goes, it even gives us details. Jacob found a man. They started wrestling around, and he was doing pretty good. And then guess what? This man knew he was losing.
Yeah, right.
So he got cheap. Remember, read it. He said he grabbed the hollow of his thigh, and he brought it out of joint. So he's trying to fight with a pulled muscle. Hallelujah. God got cheap on Jacob. Why? He was losing too bad. It was getting embarrassing. Go read it up, brother, sister. And they were wrestling around. And finally, the man said, get off. I'm leaving. And Jacob said, I'm not going anywhere till you bless me. The Bible says, this is what this man that was called God, he says, and what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, remember what prince means in the Bible? It's really a ruler. Not necessarily an heir, but you understand, a ruler. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.
Amen.
He beat God in a wrestling match. What beat God? Do you think God could have whipped him? Of course he could have. But what was it? That faith that was in Jacob. Oh, he had it tainted all his life, but he always had it. It's what got him to go. He didn't do it right because he wasn't converted yet, but he needed that birthright. He didn't do it right because he wasn't converted, but he needed that blessing. And here he is, and he's at the end of his rope, and it's about to be done. And he said, I need a name change. I'm tired of being what I am. I need a new birth. I need the real Holy Ghost. I'm tired of being a put on. I need life. And he found the man of life. He didn't know why, but there's something about this man. And I'm not letting him go. That was the faith in Jacob. And I'm sure he had both his legs wrapped up and said, bless me. Hallelujah. People don't realize how humble God is. Jesus, when he came, remember he said, they were talking to him and everything, and they finally, they didn't even know who he was, and he went off like he was going to go further. Just leave him in the dust. And they compelled him. Oh, it just spoke to his heart. You wonder why it's the same with you and I, brother, sister. It's one thing to beg somebody to finally come over and okay, fine, they came. But it's one thing for you to try to walk away. And they said, oh, sister Shirley, come on. Come on. You know, get over here. And it just, doesn't it just tug on your heart when somebody does? And that's what the Lord was doing. Here's Jacob wrestling the Lord. And he had faith, but God wanted this to happen. God wanted his son changed. And he knew what it took, so he was willing to lay down even God, lay down himself. People say, oh, you're proud or whatever. You're trying to degrade God. No, God did it. And what was the greatest way he laid himself down? When he put himself on a cross. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let me read you a quote here. He said, "After in his presence, 1962, after Jacob had wrestled all night and confessing his sins, you remember the place he was? It was called Peniel. The word Peniel in the Hebrew means the face of Almighty God. Jacob, the little shyster, had run all, his name was Jacob, which means supplanter, that's deceiver, had run all of his life away from God. And when he got one time in the presence of God, a Peniel, in the face of God, he got a hold of God and wouldn't turn him loose. God, we need more Jacobs. He held on to the face of God in the presence of God. He stayed until it was sunup. God said, let me go, because the sun's arising. And he stayed in the face of God until sunup, but he went away justified and saved.
Amen.
Oh, what a great thing it was now to know that he had wrestled through. He had seen signs of God. He had had dreams about God, but this was one time in the face of God, in the presence of God. Think of it, friends. In the presence of God, a man is changed. Jacob was changed. Now he could walk with God. Yes, he was a different man than what he was when he went up there. The battle was now over. Yes, sir. Glory to God. And out of this man, we understand, came the whole tribe of Israel, the whole nation of Israel. And out of Israel came the Messiah. Hallelujah. God couldn't bring a Messiah through Jacob. There's no promise of that. But he could bring it through Israel. There's another time a man, you all know the story. It's out of 2 Kings 20. Listen now. In the days when Hezekiah was sick unto death, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That's it. Didn't give him no more quotes. And actually, if you read, he started turning to walk away. This prophet knew where he stood. He walked right in the king's house and said, "You're dead, king," and turned around. Hallelujah. And what began to happen? Then he turned his face, this is Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech thee, O Lord, and remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, after Isaiah was gone out into the middle court. What was that? Now listen now. It was far enough that Hezekiah's hopes were gone. Listen. Naturally speaking, he couldn't see him anymore. It was done. But it wasn't too far for God to get a hold of him. And when God saw, was it just his prayer? I'm going to hit this hard. It wasn't just Isaiah or the fact that Hezekiah prayed. Right. If you pray in unbelief, it does you no good. Amen. Many times Israel said, "Oh, let's seek the Lord, bunch of hypocrites. Let's go up to Ramoth Gilead. The Lord's with us. Let's have a good shouting time service." But they had left the word and they perished. Amen. There was another time when they said, "Go up and take," you know, they said, "There's giants in the land." And they got afraid. They said, "Fine, we won't do it." But then the next day they said, "Okay, we'll do it now." He said, "There's no more time. The word's gone. You've missed it. So we'll do it anyways. We're going in the name of the Lord." We prayed up too late. Amen. Went up and perished. Right. Hallelujah. But God kept this prophet Isaiah right there. You can see Hezekiah in the temple just pouring out his heart. He said, "Lord," at least he had a testimony. Amen. That's the problem with most people. They don't even have a testimony to bring to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. But he had one. "Lord, I've done what I could have done. I've served you with all my heart. Yes, I've made mistakes, but you know that I tore down those idols. Amen. I know what my fathers had done, and I got rid of it. At least in Judah, I did what I could. My house isn't the way. It's not quite done yet, Lord. Amen. Give me some more time." Hallelujah. And after Isaiah was gone into the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came unto him. Can you just see God? Oh, I just love it. So beautiful. He said, "That's all I was waiting to hear." God don't want to bring judgment. Do we understand that? Or why does the door of grace stay open so long?
Exactly.
Most of us wouldn't have waited 120 minutes in the days of Noah. Right. Look, get in the boat or die. Uh-huh. You don't believe me? Fine, die. Uh-huh. God waited 120 years. We can't give a brother grace for a week for a service. "Brother Andrew, I know what you said last week. I found this quote." I understand, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Do you love me? Because I love you. I'm just preaching today. I've got rid of that thing. That little thing that tells you don't, "Oh, they're doing this, they're doing that." I'm just done with that voice. It's what God wants to say. It needs to be said. He told the prophet Jeremiah, "Don't even look at their faces no more." You know why? Because it was bothering Jeremiah. So he said, "Fine, I'll just close my eyes. And I'll just preach what God's telling me to preach and let it fall where it may." You know, he didn't have a very successful ministry. He even got to the king himself and said, "Finally, made it to the king. I'll tell him," or is that Zechariah, one of the prophets? You understand what I'm saying? He finally got up there and said, "I'll tell him." That'll do something. He turned him down. He told the whole thing, "Don't look, you're already in captivity, you're going to die. But look, don't go down to Egypt. Just become slaves to the Chaldeans. You've went to the permissive will. It's too late for what you really should be having right now." A lot of men have done that before. Ooh, my. Made a mistake. Come on now. Knew better, didn't listen to the Lord, and you've put yourself in a permissive will you have to stay in. Come on, but serve the Lord there. Don't go running off back to the world, back to Egypt because it looks comfy, and you don't have to worry about people judging you and everything else. If you're worried about people judging you, get out of Christianity. That's where you're going to be judged. That's right. Everyone's got rights but Christians. That's right. Don't think it's going to get no better. It is not, brother, sister. But God will hold his elect. He won't lose a one. And they can't touch you as long as you'll believe his word. Even when God himself told this man he was going to die, he prayed and he believed. He believed that there was hope. And he went before God and God stopped his prophet and he said, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. And on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Thou shalt go to church." What if you would have missed that service? Woo! Come on, brother, sister. Don't get so spiritual you don't realize that this word applies to you today. He said, after 3 days, go to church.
Uh-huh.
Get over it. He was still sick.
Right.
Don't let that sickness keep you home. Get there. We don't know, but all we know is he had some kind of sore or something, because if you keep reading, he said, I'll add them to thy days 15 years, and I'll deliver thee and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I'll defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. Take some fruit and put it on there.
Amen.
Good thing he didn't take Naaman's attitude in that ride. Dump in the river. Come on. Where's the mighty works of God? Here's a prophet. Said, thus saith the Lord. He done track and said, thus saith the Lord again. And he says, look, you want to get healed? Put some figs on it. Where's the mighty power? I thought he just spoke and I'd be feeling great. But all he said was, get up, take a bath, get dressed, go to church. He'll give you some figs, put it on it, you'll be all right. But God, I want a mighty miracle. Well, get up, get your clothes on, go to church, believe God, a little prayer of faith, you'll leave out all
right.
Hallelujah. But see, what's the force? It's not prayer even, brother, sister. I'm going to keep saying it. It's not prayer that moved on God. It was faith.
Amen.
They believed him. Yes. They believed, or else why? It wasn't just that they prayed a ritualistic prayer. They had works that went with this faith. So, yeah, prayer, you got to talk to God. You can't do it without talking to him. But if you don't believe, you can talk all day.
That's right.
He that comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those that will diligently seek him. And before that was even written, that word was moving in this king's heart. He knew it. I just got to seek God. I know there's still a chance, because I'm not dead yet. I still got breath in my lungs. I know I had the word of the Lord come, but there's still a chance.
Amen.
And God moved and he got healed. Hallelujah. And not only that, he asked for a sign. He said, Lord, give me a sign. Or actually, he said, what will the sign be that the Lord will heal me? And I'm just going to paraphrase. Isaiah said, look, you have one of two things. I'll either let the sun go ahead 10 degrees or back 10. What do you want? He said, well, it ain't nothing for it to go forward 10. I mean, that's what it does all the time. Go back 10. And Isaiah cried unto the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Isaiah didn't have a word to do that. Come on now. But God would not let the prophet's word fall to the ground. Hallelujah. Seed shall possess the gates of his enemy, 1961. Now, I'd imagine when a trial come up, what's the first thing a child of God has for refuge when a trial comes? The greatest weapon was ever put in the hands of mankind, which is prayer. Amen. It even changes everything. It even changed the mind of God one time. God told his prophet to go up and tell the king when he was going to die, and he turned his face to the wall and said, Lord, I beseech you, consider me. I've walked with you with a perfect heart. I need 15 years longer. And God spared his life 15 years longer. Prayer changes things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So don't get around saying, I'm not saying pray. But if you don't believe, don't pray.
Right.
Believe first. Get the unbelief out.
Amen.
The man that came to Jesus said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, because you ain't going to be able to do nothing with me unbelieving like this. That's the truth, brother, sister. Sin isn't adultery. It's not pornography. It's not these things of the world. It is unbelief. You're not believing the word for yourself. You're calling yourself a sinner, so that's what you become. If you'll call yourself the word and walk in the word and believe God that I am the word, you'll conquer all of that. Then when you pray, your prayer don't hit the ceiling. It gets up to heaven. Because look, I have to go this route. I don't know why, but I'm going to pray. I'm praying about it. Matt, let's turn there. Let's turn there. I'm going to show you what I'm trying to say here. Matthew 6. Praise God. Matthew 6. Let's just go to verse 5. We'll save some time here. Enjoying the word today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Never be afraid to express your love to God, brother, sister.
Amen.
Never be afraid. We need to quit listening to that. You ain't getting out of order in church. That's why we came. That's why we came, brothers. I said that's why we came here today.
Amen.
You ain't come just sit and stare at me. You came to worship the Lord and show him how much you love him.
Amen.
Amen. And how do you really show you love him? Accepting his word into your heart, no matter how it tears, no matter how it cuts, no matter how much it just goes across your grain, you say, Lord, it's still the word. It's for me. It's the greatest form of worship there is. Hallelujah. And when that, verse 5, Matthew 6, 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray. I got to stop there. They love to pray. Oh my. A lot of people love to be religious. They love to go through the motions. Now I'm going to be honest, dealing with a lot of people in the message, not many, too many people like to pray. We don't even get to that step. But if you don't believe, there's no point in going to that step. Hallelujah. If you're doing it like, let me just keep reading now. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Oh, you won't find them in their prayer closet, but you say, brother, would you come up here and pray? Oh my, they're mighty good prayer. If that wasn't thus said the Lord, I wouldn't be saying it, but it is. That's Jesus himself talking. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corner of the streets that they might be maybe seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What is it? That's it. There you go. You get to feel a little good about yourself. People come pat you on the back, but that's it. Don't plan on getting healed later. That's right. You already have your reward. You're done. But thou, when thou prayest, when I pray, can we say it together? When I pray, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now we're not done. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. What's he trying to say? You don't need to tell him 20 times what you're praying about. Pray once. And put it, and that's the point. But if you don't believe, you're going to have to keep saying it. Because you're saying, well, he didn't give it to me. I got to ask again. Didn't give it to me. Got to ask again. Didn't get it. But if you have faith, you ask once, you have it. You know you have it. And what does that do? It begins to change your prayer. When we're saying we're praying about something, well, how do we do that? Come on now. Do we have faith in that? That Lord, and especially this way, lead me to your will. Lead me to your will. And I've watched people doubt that every time they say it. Lead me to your will, but I know I'll miss it. Lead me to your will, but I'm not going to do this thing you already told me for every service that I ought to be doing. I'll go to church when I get a revelation. Just go. I'll pray when I get a revelation. Do it. I'll wear skirts when I get a revelation. Do it anyways and let God give the revelation when you need it. Hallelujah. Because I love to see a child of God finally have his eyes broke open. Oh, that's why. But see, if you don't do it first, just believing it. And listen now, the revelation is an uncovering of something you already have. Okay? But God, the attribute of faith is doing it before you have that. Come on now. It's having the revelation without necessarily understanding. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? Revelation is substance. You don't have to understand the mechanics of it and why it works and all these things. I don't know why this iPad's working. I have no clue how they got some metal in here together that's doing what it's doing right now. But I know how to use it. So I use it for the glory of God. I don't know what that car is doing. Some of y'all do. I don't have a clue. I don't know what's happening, but I know if I put a key in there and I'll turn it, it'll get moving. I don't know how people get healed. I don't know how to see visions. I don't know how to deliver the sick and all these things. But I do know if we'll just get in the Word and believe it with all our heart, the devil is always succumbed to the Word. They always bow down to the Word. So when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. What does that mean? You just say a bunch of stuff. Hallelujah. You ever been to a speech where that's all they're trying to do? Fill time? Oh, it's terrible. So you already done said that. Shut up. I got it. Move on to something else. And too often too many preachers do that. Well, I'll be real spiritual if I'm here an hour and a half. And I ain't saying that just because I might take an hour and a half today either. But I'm just saying a lot of times, well, I better do something. I'll just read another four more quotes that say the same thing. Just filling time. Just trying to feel spiritual. I ain't interested in none of that. Is God there? The prophet didn't lead himself to a different standard. He said, if God don't come here now and vindicate what I just said, I'm a false prophet. Everything I said is wrong because God always vindicates his word. Hallelujah. James said it this way. If we'll turn there, I'm going to wrap up here soon. James, chapter 1. Yeah, let's just go to chapter 1. Hallelujah. I love the Word. I love God. Y'all like this just one sermon thing? That's kind of different, isn't it? Didn't say I was starting a series yet. No, it's a little different for us around here. James chapter 1. We'll just start at verse 2. Excuse me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I don't want to try my faith. I just want to have it. That ain't the way faith works, brother, sister. You have to act in faith. And you've got to have faith or you're just being a hypocrite. But if you've got it, if you've got the Holy Ghost today, that was the gift of God to you to quicken the seed of faith. So you believe God. So move forward in what God moves on you. Watch. Don't play around with it either. James will tell you that real quick here. But let patience have her perfect work. Not patience will have its perfect work. Let it. That means you got to get out of the way. That means you got to say, Lord, thank you for my trial. Hallelujah. Don't take it away. Just let me through it.
Amen.
Let patience have its perfect work. So why? Faith can get glory, bring glory to God.
Right.
Faith's the seed, but if you don't let it grow, it'll never show. If you start disbelieving, there you go. Never knew you had in the first place. Then you get discouraged and everything else, and you're back out doing things of the world. The trying your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Oh, I love when Christians are finally in that condition right there, where they know things are going to come, bad's going to happen, good's going to happen. But I'm just serving the Lord. It's going to keep going forward. I ain't come backing down on the Word. He's still right. I'm still wrong. We're still having a good time. I'm serving the Lord. Amen. And they don't want nothing. God give me a car, praise the Lord. If he gives me a better job, praise the Lord. If he doesn't, that's all right. They don't want anything. They have what they want. That's him. Hallelujah. They already have him, so they don't need anything else. Glory to God. If any of you lack wisdom, man, I'm trying to preach, but I just got to keep stopping here. He didn't say lack knowledge. Look, the Bible said that in the last days they'll run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. But I'll tell you what, there's an awful shortage of wisdom anywhere. Oh, they got all kinds of knowledge. They'll tell you all about this thing, that thing. And you might think people are dumb, but just find what they love. They'll rattle off all kinds of things about it you never heard of. But you can't get enough wisdom to even how to raise a family anymore. I watched them sell away, like, oh, I'll sell this and I'll buy this. And it's like, you're just twice as much debt as you were before you started. How's that a good idea?
Right.
There's no wisdom nowhere.
Right.
They got knowledge, but no wisdom. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally.
Yep.
He doesn't hold back. He gives to all men liberally. Amen. And abradeth not, and it shall be given. And it shall be given him. But, very key word there. We need to keep listening because he didn't stop talking there. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the sea, the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So when he said, you know, we talked about prayer and that we need to be in prayer. Amen. But without faith, your prayer will be like the heathens are. You can say amen, I guarantee it. If you aren't being led in by faith and having a good time with the Lord, you'll just start saying stuff. Vain repetitions don't mean nothing. You just fill in time. You know, the wife said, we got to get down and pray, so I guess I'll get down here. Husband says we ought to get off Facebook for a little bit and seek the Lord. I guess I'll just say some stuff. There's no faith in that. But if you get in faith and say, Lord, you know, we read quotes, one of the weakest Christians are on their knees. The devils tremble. Why? Because they're saying, what if they actually believe this time? We're in trouble. So they won't just sit there, though. They'll come by and say, don't you want to get back on the iPad? Don't you want to watch another movie? Wasn't that pretty cool? Aren't you getting kind of tired down here? You probably should go ahead and take a nap. You know you deserve it anyways. You rattle up about three words. Now, I will say this. I'd rather you fall asleep praying than watching TV or something. But at the same time, I think we ought to pray a little bit. We ought to resist those things. to realize that that's the enemy trying to get me to do this. You want to know the best thing? Just start worshiping.
Amen.
You never go wrong worshiping the Lord. I never seen it yet. Where God, he said, oh, no, calm down, boy. Calm down. That's way too much worship.
That's right.
You find me that in the Bible. You'll find the opposite all the time.
Amen.
You know, David was having a good old time. And he was saying, woo, the Ark of the Lord, it's back. Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
And he even ripped off his shirt and started twirling it, I'm sure.
Right.
We thought, man, that's a little out of order. That's what that religious spirit thought on his Saul's daughter. At that point, she had left being the wife. Listen now, I'm going to just type this out for a minute. She was the wife of David, but now she became Saul's daughter. Same woman, different position. Before, she was in the blessing. She was tied to Christ, just like the church was. But now they've changed and they've become the daughter of some denominational system that's long dead and gone. Ooh, same person, but not the same position no more. Well, how'd they get blessed back here? They left it. They left their position, and the whole world is doing it. People that are in the message, come on now. They had great, powerful ministries and great, mighty works. They left their position. Same person, different position. She began to scold him down there. Said, how mightily was the king today out there in front of all the women doing all that kind of stuff? We'd held on to that doctrine this day, wouldn't we? But David said, well, you missed a big part of this. It was before the Lord. I didn't see none of them sisters. I didn't see you up there. I saw one. And he was in that Ark of the Covenant. And I knew what that Ark did. And that's who I was worshiping. God, give me a church where every person comes and all they see is Jesus. Oh, you, like I said, the way you worship when you just see him. And not only that, what if this is it? This is your last chance to come to church and worship the Lord. I tell you what, we'd do a little bit more if we had a revelation of that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Redemption by judgment. And everything without faith is sin. Unbelief is absolutely sin. Everything that's not of faith is not of God. You must believe. And the only way you can have faith is first see what God said about it. And then believe His Word. That's true. That's the only way you can do it. Now remember, the Word is not just letter. That's what I'm going to finish on. I'm going to wrap this up. The Word is a person. See, that's the revelation. That Hezekiah had, that this, though God has brought me a message, he's a person, he's a man, I can talk it over with him.
Amen.
And he had a connection with this God because he had prayed before. Hallelujah.
Amen.
David had the same. He said, I was out there doing my job with no glory to be had, except that I was faithful at my post. Hallelujah. He was called to be king, but years before that, God saw a faithful man who had just one sheep get stolen. Just one. Just one little thing over here. Probably could have went on. Nobody would have noticed anything. But it didn't satisfy him. 99 is not good enough. I had 100. And that bear came to take it. He said, no, sir. Boom, right in the head. Put him down. And I'm sure he might have even been the same day. We don't know because it says a bear and a lion. It sounds like it happened almost the same time. But here comes the lion too. Bam, killed him. And he could remember that. So when Goliath stood there, he says, what are you all afraid about? Begin to realize nobody else ever met God.
Amen.
And I think you're puffed up. They think you're proud and say, who do you think you are? We've been in the message all these years. We're this big, that, and this big name. Who do you think you are saying all that and being all this? Look at your past. Look what you used to be. Look at all these mistakes. But David said, I don't care about any of that. I know God. And I know I have His favor. And I'm looking at the Word. I'm looking at what God said about this. And we're the children of Abraham. And the promise was the Abraham seed would possess the gates of the enemy.
Amen.
And I see that enemy standing there. I'm going back to the Word. I'm leaving your feelings out of this. I'm going back to the Word. Give me that sling.
Amen.
And they tried. He said, fine, I'll go with you guys for a little bit. You try to be a Baptist. You try to fit in with the thunders and everything else and put on their armor. And all it did was weigh you down. You're like, I can't use any of this. This isn't what God revealed to me. You start pulling it off. That ain't what the thunders was about. That isn't what the seals were. All this big intellectualism. That isn't what all this Oh, get this off of me. Come on.
Amen.
Weighing me down.
Amen.
God can use me like anyone else.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the man that ought to be doing it was shaking in his boots. The man that was big enough to do it, potentially speaking, we understand. I'm sure the story got turned around a little bit because they tried to put the armor on Saul. Saul was probably 7 foot or so. Goliath like 9 or 10, something like that. So that was a pretty good fight, you know, not too bad. But they had took the armor off of a Saul and put on David. I'm sure the story spread that got the other way. Not that he was too small for the armor. This man's too big. This man's even bigger. He can't even fit Saul's armor. He'll be able to stand up to Goliath. And I'm sure when he came over the hill, David walking up there to meet him, right? Because he had to go down to the valley. Big old shadow cast. Look at this mighty warrior come. Started getting closer to Goliath. I'm sure Goliath was maybe getting a little nervous. Whew, he does look a little big, don't he? He don't even got armor on. How tough is this guy? He started walking down, then began to see him get smaller, smaller. And by the time he got there, he was looking like this. You're not even bigger than my armor bearer. What are you doing down here? You wonder why he said, I'm going to cut your head off, feed you to birds. Or no, he said, I'm going to feed you to the birds. And David said, I'm going to cut your head off. That's right. See, but what brought it down to the showdown was the man that actually had faith. He didn't go get prayed up. He knew it. He was fully convinced. He didn't ask wavering. He said this, I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine would be no different than they were. Give me my sling. And he said, get away from me. I'll do it myself. That's right. I don't need your unbelief. I don't need all your doctrines. I know God. And he went and he found those five stones, faith in Jesus. That's right. He polished them off. That's right. Got all the world off of him. Hallelujah. Got him in his bag. But when he got there, he realized, I only need one. Hit him right in the head. Do you understand that didn't necessarily kill him? All it did was knock him down. And if you look, he didn't fall backwards. It didn't even hit him that hard. Hit him enough to knock him out. And he fell forward right on his face. You know why? He had to bow down to the word. And David wasn't happy with just knocking him out. He said that's why he jumped up on top of him, pulled his own sword out, and cut his head off. Hallelujah. One last story here. Let's bring it right down to the New Testament. Go with me and we'll finish up. Mark chapter 10. Appreciate your patience this morning. Hallelujah. There's another man that was able to stop God one time. You might know the story, but we'll see here. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Excuse me. Thank the Lord Jesus. Let's go to verse 46. Mark 10, 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. I'm going to read a quote and then I'm going to finish this. That thou son of David, have mercy on me, 1961. But that old blind beggar over there, he said, oh, thou son of David. And he stopped. Brother, I'd like to preach to you sometime. And he stopped. Yes, sir, he stopped. And when he did, he turned around. Now his voice, he didn't hear it. Of course not. But his faith stopped him. His faith stopped him and they brought him over. He said, what would I do for you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He said, thy faith has saved thee. Let's read the rest of that. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What's the only force that can move God is faith. Here's the Messiah, busy preaching, going from one revival to the next, whole congregation around him, thronging him the whole way. He's 300 yards away from this blind man who just catches word from the crowd that that's the Son of God. That's the Son of God down there. That's the Messiah. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to cry out. Why? There's no hopes. But he began to cry out. Faith began to say there's still a hope somehow. I remember one time when Isaiah was already at the temple that God still heard Hezekiah's prayer. God can hear mine. And he began to cry out. It wasn't formalism. He cried out, thou son of David, have mercy. And it probably stirred up the crowd around him the first time. And when they say, shh, you're getting out of order. Getting out of order. If it was the will of the Lord, he would have came to you.
Sure.
Faith don't accept that. And it began to crowd even louder. Why? Because then that group began to make the next group louder until all of a sudden, they Jesus noticed something. And he stood still. Hallelujah. It wasn't that natural moving. It was the faith of that Son of God began to move. Not Jesus now. Timaeus, blind Bartimaeus. His faith began to move and it caught the word that was walking. He said, you stop right there. Jesus stood still. And he said, bring that man over here. Looked right over all the ones that were right around him, all those that were trying to fellowship with him, but had no faith, bypassed all that. Amen. Go give me that man that's got faith and bring him over here. What do you want? That I might receive the sight. And he didn't say, all right, by my power, I give you your sight. It doesn't even say he got mud like he had to do that other man and put it on his eyes, and then he had to do it again and all that. He didn't have to do any of those works. Why? This man had a different channel of faith. He believed the word. That's right. Now, God will come down to us if we need to from time to time, but he don't want you to stay there. He wants you to believe his word.
Amen.
That's right. And this man came and he said, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately his eyes came open. Brother Bram talks about another story. I just want to give it to you real quick here. He talks about a blind man and he got, thus saith the Lord, he's going to be healed. He had cataracts real bad, couldn't see. And the Lord healed right there. The life went out of it. But as Brother Bram said, divine healing ain't necessarily miracles now. I believe blind Bartimaeus might have had a miracle here for all we know. We don't know the rest after this, but he had his sight. And this man had received a sight. And about 4 days later, all of a sudden he got real swollen up and he couldn't see no more. And he came to Brother Bram and said, I lost my healing. He said, brother, don't do that. Don't do that. You're not believing. Quit doing that and believe the word and it'll come back. It'll stay there. Just stop doubting. He said, what it was is the life left the cataracts, so they began to swell when they were decomposing, so the body could get rid of it. And in that time, if he would have doubted, they would have just swelled his eyes right away. But he said, after a few weeks, he had his sight again. Praise the Lord, running around. He said, what would have happened if I had not been there to instruct him on what's real scriptural teaching?
Right.
See, brother, sister, we have a message.
Yes.
We have a message, but we have to be taught what it really is all about.
Yes.
God don't need intercessors. It's already laying there.
Yes.
That's right, but that's why God gave us gifts, amen, to bring it to us. Hallelujah. If you don't believe that, quit coming to church, that's for sure. Because that's why God gives these gifts here, not to bring a new message, but to give it to us,
amen.
To show us what we need to know and what to hear and for our day and age. What am I trying to say? Hold to the word.
Amen.
Hold to that word. I don't care if you don't feel it. Hold.
Amen.
I don't see it. Stop.
Amen.
Stop doubting. And actually, I'm sure it just, like Jesus, remember the one time they came, they brought the epileptic boy, and he just sighed. So, are you serious? I sent you out there, I told you what to do, and you had success, and now you hit this case and you give up. I said, come on. And we think Jesus would just had patience with him. That isn't what he wanted. He wanted faith. That's why even you know, you can't even really operate love without faith. Because if you don't trust each other, how can you show love to each other? Come on, that's what faith is. Faith, we need to start saying it like that. Faith towards God is trusting him. And how offensive is it for your little child to come up to you and say, look, you know, he's a few feet above you, Brother Rodney. Justin, and you say, come on, jump down, I'll catch you. What would it feel like? He said, I'm scared, Daddy. You might drop me. He said, I got you. What are you talking about? You jumped off there 100 times. I caught you every time. Why are you afraid? You know what happens? They start getting Brother Austin's age, start thinking they know better by themselves. Said, you can't catch me. No, we do. We get too big. We need to go back to being little children.
Amen.
Say, if Papa said jump, that means jump.
Amen.
And if I'll just do it, I'll actually have more fun anyways.
Amen.
Don't you love that? And that's the same. I'm trying to wrap it up, but I just see the Lord still working, don't you? When you're playing with your little guys and stuff, it's so much fun, isn't it? Because they trust you. You could throw them around, do backflips with them. And maybe you didn't do it quite like me, but you scare your wife to death, but they're going to be fine. You know, I remember my little brother when he was little. We'd get on trampoline. We'd do all kinds of crazy stuff. We never got hurt. You want to know when he started getting hurt? When he stopped trusting me.
Yeah.
He started getting stiff when I was trying to do something or we were doing whatever. And he'd get stiff and he wouldn't land right. And getting all timid and then not jumping far like you normally do. You know, when you're quit doing that to God. Say, well, I'm just praying again. Look, you've jumped off 100 times before. He healed you that time. He delivered you this thing. Just jump in.
Right, amen.
Well, I need to do this. No, you don't. You need to stop disbelieving. That's right. Now let me finish this quote and I will, I promise. I'll stop right here. A little over an hour. Now his voice, he didn't hear it, of course. Let me skip down. He said, thy faith has saved thee. See, if he had faith enough to stop him, faith to touch him, don't you see how that compares with the rest of the scripture? See, if he had faith enough to stop him, well, then he had faith enough to accept his healing. Thy faith has saved thee. Thy faith did it. And he went walking out with his heads towards Jerusalem. Oh, my, going on towards Jerusalem. Let me skip down. The faith of one blind beggar stopped him on such a mission as that. If there wasn't anybody as busy as him. Come on now, he had a mission from God himself, but faith can even stop God. Oh my. The faith of one person here tonight, and I'll say here tonight, bring him from glory right to this building. Sure it will. He can heal you. He can give you deliverance. Stand together. Praise be to God. Praise His holy name. What a service. Thank the Lord for His word today. Amen. Praise His name. He became me E flat today, Dad. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He became me that I might become Him by grace. That's all it is. Let's sing that again now. Oh, He became me so that I might become Him by grace. He took my place. Thank the Lord. Listen now. That I, through His love, could take His. Thank the Lord. Oh, He became me so that I might become Him by grace. We'll sing it again now and worship Him. This faith could take, thus saith the Lord, and turn it to help His children. How much more can it whip any devil in your life? Hallelujah, brother, sister. Begin to let go. Let go of unbelief. All those thoughts of doubt and fear and complex and all those things of the devil. Don't be hard. Don't make it complicated. Be real simple. Just make it like 1 + 1 = 2. That, Lord, I believe You. 1. Plus, Your word said 1 = 2, I'm healed today. Hallelujah. = 2, I'm delivered. That's it, Satan. I ain't even going to talk about it no more. I ain't going to give You no more glory. I'm not in Your cage. The Holy Spirit's come today. And it's given me a force to bring an eviction notice to You. Get out of my prayer life in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Get that timid spirit off me and be afraid of witnessing for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let it take away that busyness of life to where I don't even slow down long enough to talk to you. I don't slow down enough to worship you a little while, and I feel a little weird when I do it anyway. Where I get down to pray and I'm just using vain repetitions, just saying a bunch of nothing. Lord, get me out of that. When I get on my knees, may I see the throne of grace before me. And then I've been getting a bloody path of invitation to go boldly to the throne, to ask whatever I might, because God has called me. Hallelujah. That, Lord, me and all my sin and all my shame, all my mistakes, Lord, you became all that. You became all that when you came in flesh and you pulled all the sin of all the world and you pulled it into yourself. You say, I can see all the way to 2015 and see my brother there and my sister there. I can see what they're going to do, make that mistake, but I'm going to pull that in right now into my body. And it strained him so much, his sweat became as big drops of blood. The body couldn't even take it. It took the Messiah to be able to do that. It took someone virgin born, but he willingly did it. He said, this is why I was born. This is why I came. Oh, he could have had treasures. He could have had wives. He could have had families. And he gave all that up so he could have a wife. Hallelujah. So he could have a kingdom. He didn't have to live by himself no more, but he could redeem his children. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, if you've been doubting that, excuse me, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you ask God to forgive you. Say, Lord, I forgive you. And don't ask not believing now. Ask in faith. Say, Lord, I've raised my hands. As the prophet said many times, what does that mean? That could mean the difference between life and death. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're taking that sin and you're surrendering it. And as you surrender it, the blood of Christ comes. Hallelujah. And before it gets to God, it destroys him. Remember the prophet's vision of that sinner woman? And he wanted to condemn her. And God pulled a vision on him and showed him that bleeding blood all around the earth. And showed the prophet's mistake. What he was doing wrong, and that black thing was going up to hit the Father. Hallelujah. And right before it got there, the blood took it and destroyed it. Hallelujah. Say, how, brother? You've got to believe. Because one day, that blood's still there. That's, like I said before, that's what's holding the world together. But if you wait till it's gone, there'll be nothing to place your faith in. It'll go right to the Father and you'll have to give account of it. God, don't let my sins follow me. Lord, I put them all before me in the name of Jesus Christ. My hands up to you. Lord, I'm so sorry. Can't you see him today, brother, sister? That lovely face. Got blood stains on it. But it's not looking at you with fiery eyes of judgment. With hands of grace stretched out. Say, would you just come be with me? You can see it, brother, if you see what I'm seeing. You see a road going to him. There's an iPad on one side. There's a TV on the other trying to distract you. There's a pretty girl over here. There's something of the world. There's destructions coming. There's your job. There's your house. There's your car. You got to go past all that and not pay it no attention. Stay on the way. He is the way. The Word's the way. Just stay right there. You walk right up into his arms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, fill my heart with so much grace and love and mercy. Not that I leave here all legalistic and, Lord, doing all this nonsense for no reason. But that, Lord, I'd be so in love with you that I have no even desire for any of those things. I don't even have no care for that. Hallelujah. 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 Now go ahead and get right with God yourself. Because I believe the Holy Spirit's here. I believe that power from on high has come. I believe there's faith in this room to receive it. If you can get simple enough and just let the Lord do it, say, Lord, it's over. Say, well, I don't feel it. Just it's over. I'm just going to praise you without condemnation. Because I'm not holding back. I'm not being a hypocrite. I've done put it all before you, Lord. And I need help. I see there's some of you that need that help. You need that special touch. But you got to get past the feeling part and just say, I know it's here. I know it's you, Lord. And I believe it with all my heart. Hallelujah. The only reason that this nation ain't blowed up yet is for me today. I could get right. Just remember what God did. No, just keep praying, keep believing. We ain't wasting time. We're spending time in the blessed place we could be. Hallelujah. Remember the woman that Brother Branham prayed for and she got well and a few days later died or something? He said, God, you owe me an answer. Why would you do that and then heal her and then let her die? Just like that. Why would you tell Isaiah he was going to die and then save his life? It's the same thing. You said this, Lord, and then why'd you turn around and look like you did the opposite? And God came and he said he let him have his pity party. He let him reap for it. But he came to him and he showed him. A little time when she was a lot younger, skipping across some rocks and she slipped and almost drowned to death. They were able to bring her back. He said, there's where she should have died, but she wasn't ready. God is no respecter of persons. That woman, I believe, is just as much the bride of Christ as you are today. Now quit doubting it. Say, that's me, Lord. And if I do fall in the rocks, then I ain't talking natural, no, I'm talking sin. I look like I'm about to die. I can't get out of here, Lord. I believe I'm predestinated. I believe you chose me. I didn't choose you. You chose me, Lord. And I've made a mess of things, but you gave us a message to fix that mess. And I accept it into my heart. I accept my deliverance. Hallelujah. I thank you for it, Lord. Oh, how I love seeing the Holy Spirit allowed to move through people. You don't see that no more, brother, sister. Don't think you're fanatical. You're not fanatical enough is what it is. You got to keep letting go. You go ahead and pray and you're getting in the Spirit. You got to let go of that. You got to break through to where it's none of you. It's nothing. You give God the praise. You know you're delivered. You know the Holy Spirit's here. You know He's filled you. And if you got the Holy Ghost, you know He's filled you again. That's all right, brother, sister. And you know it. You're not afraid of what anybody thinks. You're not afraid of what you think. It's my Lord. He's delivered me today. He's healed me today. Hallelujah. He's came and he healed 10 lepers, but only one had enough time to turn around and thank him. Lord, I'm not going to be those other 9. I'm coming back. Hallelujah. You became me that I could become you, the greatest privilege in the world to be a son of God. Hallelujah. 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 In his presence now. Hallelujah. Just yield to that showering of the presence of God. It's here, brother, sister. Don't wait for it. Open up. Total surrender. Not a partial surrender. A total surrender. Where you're not holding on to that sin. You're saying, well, I can do it when I go home. It'll be okay. No, that's got to die. All that. I've made mistakes, but I'm not holding on to it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be in no hurry. Hallelujah. Let's get in one mind and one accord. Get everything else away. Just Christ. Christ Him alone. Hallelujah. Everything else fades away. Even lunch, even after church, you know, all that is just going to fade away for a little bit here. So the presence of God can work in our lives and make us what we ought to be. That the faith in my heart isn't just going to sit there, Lord. You're quickening that faith that can produce works to your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Do you believe He's here now? Say amen. Amen. Do you believe you're a vessel to honor for Him? Yield yourself now. Listen on the way home. It's the truth of the word. The brand was preaching. It's not just for the pastor now. The lady have to have that same revelation too. It's a move of God. And God is His word, and His word is in our hearts. God sent the quickening power to bring that word out again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There you go. Keep believing. Every stronghold, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. You're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you, brother. That's how simple it is. He's all around you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You won't be no closer, but He's right here. Why are you staying in a cage? Let it go. Don't keep walking back to that thing. That's not me. That's not me, Lord. I'm one of them sons of God that Job saw. Back over there shouting for joy before the foundation of the world. And if I could shout then, I could shout now, Lord. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, let that power just move through by faith. Let it destroy every complex, every desire of the world. It'll do it, brother, sister. It will do it. It will never fail. Hallelujah. Can you surrender your sicknesses to Him? Your pain, your distraction? Hallelujah. 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 Just worship Him now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Time to let go of our starchiness, brother, sister. I'm telling you. That's your main problem. You don't think so, but that's what it is. Let that faith become a work. Let it come out and show, Lord, I really believe this. And if I really believe it, I'd have a smile. I'd have something to praise you for, Lord, because I'm free. I'm delivered. I can have a good time in church. Glory to God, because I got life. That's right. Anything that don't move is dead, brother, sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not doing it without knowledge. Lord, I know why I'm worshiping you. I'm worshiping because you're God. Hallelujah. Because when I was a sinner, you loved me. Thank you, Lord. When I was sick, you healed me. You took me in, you paid my debt, and you took care of me, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just worship Him now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, praise you, praise you. Are there any other needs of prayer? Quickly. Quickly. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, then receive it right there in your seat in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't wait another second. Say, Lord, that was for me today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give you praise, Lord. I don't got pain. I don't got suffered. I'm in heavenly places. Hallelujah. It's all white in the room. All the black's been washed away. Thank you, Jesus. Pray for these little ones. You believe now with them.